Well, let's continue talking with Robert Stanley about the Luciferian agenda, and we'll also take your phone calls while we have them this hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Robert Stanley with us. Robert, do you think governments know about this Luciferian agenda and they simply can't stop it, or are they going along with it?
Okay, that's a broad statement. Governments, obviously not everybody in the government knows, but clearly right. you've had Nick Redfern on.
Yeah.
His book, Final Events, talks about at least two different groups or units that were assigned or tasked to look into the UFO problem, and they found that that there was a demonic, an interdimensional, multidimensional aspect to all of this that they could not control. What I found extremely disturbing is that there were accounts from these so-called insiders talking about how elements of our government were willing to make deals with these demons in order to have some alleged advantage over our perceived enemies, let's say, at the time, Soviet. And that obviously that didn't go well. It's still not going our way. It was never designed to go our way.
No, it sure wasn't. Now, when you look at Genesis, Robert, and they talk about the falling angels,
mm-hmm.
how did they get it so close to what happened?
You mean the historical account of it?
The accounts, yeah.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about war. The victors always write or rewrite history.
Their own history.
To make themselves look good and their opponents to look bad. So, of course, they have to base it on some truth, you know, in order to be palatable or even believable. And there's a lot of ego involved in all of this, too. I think they enjoy messing with us. You know, you can kind of see it in this latest debacle with healthcare. This guy, this professor from MIT going, well, you know, American people are too stupid. We had to lie to them. That's an elitist mentality, and it's not
sure
new.
Is.
It isn't new. That's how the game was set up, you know, half a million years ago. That was kind of the agenda has been playing out. And it's really, look, 1,000 years is nothing to these godlike beings. They're semi-immortal. And they strategize, especially the dark ones. They're it's like nine-dimensional chess. They actually enjoy this, just toying with us. Well, most of us are just pawns for the Archon agenda.
It's a game, isn't it?
Well, on some level it is, but it's also important to know that we are actually a food source for them. And some people, like I said, some of the abductees never come back. I think they are food. But the energy that we generate, the dark energy that we emit through our DNA when we hurt ourselves or others or both, is something that the parasites feed off of. So, you know, now people who are possessed or infected by it, they feel it too. Because there's such a close relationship between the parasite mm-hmm. and the host, right? They're literally the way Castaneda said or Don Juan allegedly said that they gave us their mind, and that was the most insidious thing they ever did. You know, in other words, we. We do their bidding, and we don't even know. We think it's our own thought process, and it's not. This is the whole thing about schizophrenia. It's part of the problem. People don't understand that is not a chemical imbalance. It's an external force.
All right, let's go to the phones here. West of the Rockies, Philip is in Temecula, California. Philip, you're on with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for taking my call tonight.
Sure.
I was really interested about the information Robert was speaking of this evening. And specifically, you mentioned the Anunnaki, and I was wondering if that had anything to do with Anu or the winged people about the site that was discovered in northwestern New Mexico that referred to the same, a similar species.
The site in New Mexico?
Yeah, it's like a 13-chamber site, and they referred to, like kind of what you were saying, with the Anunnaki, that's what I'm thinking of, is that it's much the same like we were saying, is we were more of a slave race that was given a consciousness from those extraterrestrial
right.
beings.
Well,
go ahead, Robert.
Well, they tampered with us. The original race that was seeded here was androgynous, and they were totally symbiotic. All life was symbiotic. There was no predatory behavior. There was no parasitic behavior up until the time that the Civil War broke out, or the Luciferian Rebellion, you know, and they came in here, and they just turned it into a prison planet full of parasitic behavior.
And how can the average guy eradicate this, or can we?
Well, yes, we have to do it on an individual basis in order for us to have any clarity so that we can coordinate whatever. Look, I don't see. Here's the thing. One of the people have complained to me, why don't the benevolent ones just step in and liberate us? And it's not that simple. I'm sure that the Queen of Orion would have loved to do that to regain her original experiment. But the Archons, like I said, they see us as their property. And if a liberating force was to come here, the Archon would see that as a theft, outright theft. And rather than allowing it to occur, they would just literally kill us all. They'd kill everybody. And, I mean, they wouldn't even think twice about it, you know? It's like, if you're going to try and steal it, well, what's the difference? I'll just blow it all up.
Was the flood, Noah's flood, was that part of wiping us all out at that time?
Yeah, that was just another way of, what do they call it, raising the things to the ground? You know how during warfare, they go into a city, burn it, salt the earth.
Yeah,
you know, rape the women, all that stuff. Literally, just so that they could turn it into their own, make it their own.
It's the scorched earth policy.
Yeah, like that. But they also tend to build their temples on top of the older temples because they know it's a way
sacred.
Of showing. Yeah, it's a way of showing their dominance.
Interesting take. Okay, let's go next to Arnold in Connecticut, way east. Hey, Arnold, thank you. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you both?
Good, Arnold. Good. Thank you.
Excellent. I'd like to thank the caller for calling in. I listen to your program every morning and leaving work. I'd like to posit some points, not facts, just points that,
all right,
you know, add comments to your conversation. But you spoke about coffee and chocolate, and you said, hey, I'm just a little hype, but that's that energy you were just talking about. That's that universal energy that's really resonating through you. You start speaking on that truth that you're speaking on, you have no choice but to raise that potential energy. And I believe that's my segue to my call, is that, yes, we could be experiments, but our true nature is latent. It hasn't been revealed yet. It's still secret to us. I'm right on. I believe that you are right on all your points. I went to a lecture when I first came into the light, and that's what was told to me, is that there is a wave that's been coming through space letting us know that it's time to wake up for a long time. It just hasn't hit us totally yet. And when it'll help us open up our DNA and get our real potential back going so we can become the weapons we're supposed to be. And the planet Earth is actually the Ark, that we are on the Ark with all those beings you spoke of in the Alliance, the Orion Alliance. We are all here together. We are the ones that are fighting the Galactic War. We are the last saviors. And when that wave comes through and wakes us up, we'll become the positive weapons that we're supposed to be. We're just being held back right now by, if you said, the technology, keeping us from using our telepathy, our mental powers. All those technologies have made us lazy as a group of people. I'm going to turn the phone back over and let the callers come through, but I'm really grateful that you're on the radio this morning. It's a good way for me to start my day. Thank you very much.
Arnold, thank you, too. There you go, Robert. Pretty well said, too.
Yeah, it is. The only thing I would have anything to add to that would be we don't need a savior or a group of saviors even. That's been programmed into us to be more subservient. It's literally just been programmed into our genes over time by the Luciferian or Archon agenda. And people need to realize that you can liberate yourself now by doing this, you know, study and finding the truth It is liberating, and more importantly, when the wave comes over, you'll already be prepared. You'll have some context for it. It won't shatter you so much. Your paradigm won't be completely disturbed, and you'll be able to make a clear-headed decision whether or not you want to continue down the path of being a slave or not.
Why does this, Robert, seem to be in the cloak of secrecy?
Well, that's because almost everything they're doing is illegitimate. Do you remember in the movie The Matrix where Neo is speaking with the so-called architect?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, we've had many different Matrixes. And he says there was one where we let everybody in on it, and they were apathetic. They didn't want to produce, you see. And so it was like a passive resistance that was going on. And the same thing is true here. We would stop producing. You know, resistance is not futile. But what resistance? Why would anybody resist if they don't know what it is that's confining or enslaving them, right?
Exactly. Good point. Let's go to Gord in Canada, first-time caller. Gord, thanks for calling. Gord, go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on the show. This is a really great topic, interesting topic. Yeah, a couple years ago, I was contemplating suicide, and I was sitting in the tub, and a voice came to me and told me that I had to wake up. Don't forget who you are, that you got to wake up. So I did. And I've been living in a tent, homeless, for the last 3 or 4 years, and been through a whole bunch of experiences. And what you were talking about earlier there with the how people are enslaved and the Shawshank Redemption, that movie is kind of showing that people are institutionalized or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it how freedom, true freedom or liberty, is a very hard thing to live and to maintain here on this earth, because there's so many forces fighting against you. And I just wanted to give an example as like Moses in the book of Exodus there, when he took the Hebrews out of Egypt. They wanted to go back to their slavery. Like, they were scared wandering around the desert there, you know. And
they needed the security.
Yes, yes.
And the feeling of it, at least.
It was unfamiliar being out in the desert. And they were used to being back and being slaves, and they felt safer there. They were protected, and everything was given to them, I suppose.
Well, you brought up something very interesting here, Gord, and that is, Robert, what if we want these people, these beings, these creatures, to control us? What if we need that?
The way we were genetically engineered, yes, we feel that we do, but there's a dormant part of our genetic, the so-called junk DNA, okay, that they don't want to decode, or they can't. They don't want to tell us about all these different races, specifically the codes that were put in originally here. We still have some of that. And when that awakens, we'll have a conscious connection right back to the Council of Orion. And at that point, everybody's going to see it really clearly. If they still want to choose to go down the path of slavery, it's going to be permitted, because free will has to be honored. That's part of the rules of the road here.
All right, next up, Nancy's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, on the wild card line. Hello, Nancy, go ahead.
Hi, George. Stay safe. And hi, Robert.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yep.
Hi.
Hi. It's really strange. I just was listening to Jay Widener last night about the Archons.
Yep.
I wasn't that familiar with it. Yeah, and yep. I just wanted to know your thoughts on the Nag Hammadi text.
It's only a fragment. It's the tip of the iceberg. The Gnostics knew a lot more than we will ever know. I mean, we can't know what they really knew, because the thousands of scrolls that they wrote were burned intentionally, just like they were genocided by the Archon agenda. They had inside information, and they were trying to inform people, and ultimately it cost them. It cost them their existence here. One of the things I don't agree with, but what little we know about the Gnostic view, is that they say that Sophia, the goddess Sophia, that she accidentally created the archons. I don't agree with that at all. It again, I think that's a perversion or a distortion of what really happened. And people should be mindful that, you know, it's good to question everything. It takes courage to do this, okay? I understand it's very uncomfortable or discomforting to have to question your beliefs. But the more effort you put into it, as I was saying before, you know, it's not easy, okay? But there is a benefit to this.
All right, Michael, let's go to you in California now. It's your turn. You've been waiting for a while. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Norrie and Mr. Stanley, for taking my call. It's odd to me to, well, first off, you mentioned Shawshank Redemption, and I'm sitting here watching it on TV.
There's your synchronicity.
That just is like such synchronicity. I had to call in, and so... But besides that, you know, I myself have had a certain awakening in the last year or so, or maybe two, and I have a feeling that our light beings, the people on this planet, who are those who think well and are of a spiritual higherness, are going to overcome this. We have the power within us to defeat what is ever coming to us at this time. And if we just put ourselves together and do this, they have no chance against us. We're more powerful than they are, and if we just put ourselves together, we'll make it happen.
Hear, hear. What do you think about that, Robert? Can we beat them?
Well, it's not... No. You cannot defeat them. You can only liberate yourself. You want to be sovereign, you have to earn it. They're not going to give it to you. They're not going to give you your freedom. You have to earn it.
Got to do it in mass. You can't do it by yourself, right?
Well, it helps. This is why we're having this conversation. We're helping each other. Those of us that desire to live as we were originally intended to be, which is free, happy, healthy, and honest, you know, that those are key elements of who we are at the core, the God within, the goddess within, the creator. You know, that spark is in us, but it's been greatly diminished, badly distorted, and enough is enough already, at least for here. We can't defeat the dark side. That's not our purpose here. We just do not want to be diminished by it or distracted any longer. So that's the whole purpose of really, you know, this conversation, as far as I can tell.
Well, with Robert Stanley, of course, a couple of his books, Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C., Close Encounters on Capitol Hill as well, and, of course, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to come back with him in a moment here and take some final phone calls as we talk about the Luciferian agenda right here on Coast to Coast AM. And Beyond Belief, that's our television program, and I would invite you all to take a look at it by going to this website, beyondbelief.com. It is that simple. It is America's, one of its fastest-growing internet-based television shows, www.beyondbelief.com. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Robert Stanley with us, of course, as we continue chatting about the Luciferian agenda. You know, I think you're onto something here, Robert. I think it's going to be sooner than later.
Yes. Thanks, George. I just wanted to wish you and the entire Coast family a very happy and healthy holiday season.
Well, thank you. You too.
Thanks,
Robert. Hope you all ready for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, there's going to be a storm here in New England. And so, unfortunately, my wife is not going to be able to attend until... But yeah, we're ready. It's just weird. The weather, everything revolves around weather out here, it seems like.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's been that way. Lots of people in the St. Louis area are going to get upended, I think, too, in terms of vacationing. It's just unbelievable. Which also brings up another question, Robert,
Sure. Tied
into this. And that is, I sense that people are just tired. They're just fed up. They've had enough, regardless of what triggers them. Are you sensing that, too?
Of course. course. And they're more polarized than ever, but that's part of the agenda, is to divide and conquer. And more importantly, is to break us down so we feel like there's no hope. You know, and boy, have I been there.
Yeah.
You know, because this is a struggle. Obviously, some of it, here's the thing. If it's a chess, nine-dimensional chess, some of us are pawns. Most of us are pawns, I should say. That's how the game is, right? At least half of the people are pawns. Some of us have a greater value on the board, you know, and so we have a greater responsibility in this so-called game. I don't really, it's not fun for me. But, I feel like we are really close. And that's one of the reasons why they're tightening the screws, you know, is because they really don't want to lose control of us.
How many do you think are on this planet right now? Offspring, whatever.
Oh, the elite, definitely. They're a minority compared to the rest of the workers.
But they're in control.
But they're in control, and that's all. It's you know, sort of how the British Empire did things. It was as long as you had the controlling interest over the affairs of a country, then you didn't even have to have a standing military there. That's how they created their empire, you know, or maintained it, I should say, for as long as they did.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. They had a little earthquake there Saturday night. Lawrence is with us. Did you feel it, Lawrence, at all that night?
You know, I certainly did not. It was in a suburb about, I want to say maybe 15 or 20 miles away. I was in a restaurant. I didn't feel anything.
All right, well, that's good. You know, you're safe.
Well,
go ahead.
I hope that's how it will be forever, because I've never have been in an earthquake before, and I don't want to start.
No, I know.
But thank you for the show tonight. I just wanted to say, you know, in my own life, this could sound like a bunch of goofball business to some people, but I really believe that this is a phenomena. I don't come into this believing in something unless there's something that happens and such. And in my own life, I've had to deal with this kind of scenario. I think it's right to suggest that you would wish to deal with it on an individual level. You mentioned Carlos Castaneda earlier, and I know that I've derived the recapitulation technique from his work, and that seems to be useful, as well as knowing your own thoughts versus thoughts that might seem to be, you know, separate from your own. And then beyond that, I had to get a little help from somewhere, from someone that was basically suggesting that I do something that's essentially akin to a magical ritual. And I have to be honest and say that I did do that, and it did have a positive effect in the
it
end.
It worked.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. Whatever. I've always told people whatever works for you is what's right. You know, there isn't one size fits all. You know, but I do feel it's wrong to expect somebody else to fix the problem. Because, see, look, my understanding is when we're born, at least one of these parasites is attached to us, if not more. And even if it's only one, it's connected to the collective. So they have that hive mentality, and they know exactly how we feel, what we're doing. They can also mimic us. You know, not only do the archons in the physical form, like the alien, the Archon agenda, these Luciferians and various aliens, they can shapeshift in different. It's not just the reptilians. There's a lot of different entities that can at least appear through. I don't know if it's technology or like a hypnosis or whatever, but they can do that. So it again, it's all about tricking and deceiving, you know, us. Not that we're the only we're not the only game in town, but because it's happening to us, that's what we're focused on. Okay, I mean, obviously, who cares about the other beings? It's just how they're affecting us, good or bad. And at this point, it's really we're not in a good situation here. I must say though that things have changed clearly. Some of the pioneers, obviously like Whitley, they suffered greatly for coming forward with the information that they had, and it wasn't complete, you know. But it is changing. Our consciousness has definitely, I should say, the DNA, the antenna, have somewhat become more activated. But, again, the whole purpose of this conversation is to help people prepare for the awakening of the DNA, the truth, where it's just fully on, it's going to be, even for people like us who talk about this and, I mean, study it and live it, is going to be shocking.
Let's go to Jim, Venice Beach, California. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, what you said about shocking is right on. Everything you said is it's right on. So what they're doing, they're making you aware. So you're aware of what's going to happen. So when it happens, you're not going to flip out. So
right.
If just say like Planet X, blah, 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 comes by and it's supposed to shift the planet, and that's where you're going to get the zombie apocalypse because you're 70% water, your body. So your brain is going to do something. But if you're already aware of what's going to happen, when you feel it, you're going to be in a different reality, but you're going to say, I understand, I'm going to survive. But that's what the zombie apocalypse really is, because it happens before, it's cyclical, during Noah's time, when everyone's banging on the ark, let us in, let us in. Well, see, he's trying to warn us, like your guest, he's trying to warn everybody. And I think that was two times ago. Now, Planet X is already by, and it's going to come by, and they're here. But what's happening with their agenda, they training you, it's almost like you said, a little game. What they do is they'll tell you you do something, and then they'll make you a crop circle. This crop circle's for me. Just I live in L.A., that one 3D crop circle in July of 2006. Oh, they flew where I was working on a building by the Staples Center, and, oh, look at it, I just fell on the phone. Look at it. And then a month later, there's a crop circle, and it's the 3D one with the buildings, the skyscrapers. So you play games with them. I've been to Air Force OSI, Los Angeles Air Force Base. I had photos, and I showed Nick Renford. I went to a Kodak theater, and I go, and they go, oh, there's a circle in the Archons. They have, like, the crafts that are in space with the circles in them. I tracked these guys to the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. So when those things disintegrated, you put two and two together. You're going, oh, my God. And I didn't watch TV for a week when that happened. Then I finally did. So the space shuttle part of it, it didn't really get blown up by a piece of foam. Even like they'll do things. It could even go to the tsunami in the Japan, to the downing of the Malaysian aircraft. And there was a guest on the other day, and he says, how do they do it? How do they do it? Well, I know how they do it. I know how they drop the building. You study and you go, and what they're trying to do, you play a game, and you're learning. You learn different things about what they're doing. But what the guest is, the main purpose is just human survival. So just say there's a Planet X, blah, blah, blah. I know they have.
Well, hold on for a second here, Jim. Let's get some of Robert's reaction to some of this.
Yeah, he was covering a lot of topics, but I disagree about what people think of Planet X. It's not a planet, and it doesn't come around, period, that often. It's that is sort of like the Death Star. It's a hollowed-out planetoid that was kicked out of its orbit in Cirrus and then modified. It's one of the tricks that they do is hollowing out asteroids and planets for their own benefit and moving them around. And
some say the moon is artificial.
Well, it's hollow. Yeah, I
believe that.
Yeah, well, no, we know it rings like a bell. So Phobos apparently is hollow as well.
You know what? Why does it look so pocketed on the outside?
Well, I mean,
they shape it to look like that, or what?
No. That's from normal impact. It's what's on the inside. I mean, I did a study about this with the Honda. It's not an original idea. John Lewis of NASA is the one who wrote a book called Mining the Sky. If you look at that, you see that's the agenda. In fact, it's on the news today. They've announced that they're going to start doing this, supposedly to get, you know, rare minerals or whatever. But it's all about this Archon agenda. It's definitely to build more ships or vehicles. They're just like, aircraft carriers. You know, for their conveyances, that's all it is, you know, for this battle, this ongoing, war.
Let's go to Ross in Concord, California now. Hey, Ross, go ahead. Thanks for calling. You with us? Nope, I guess not. But let's go to Felix then in Pennsylvania. Hey, Felix, it's your turn.
Hey, good morning, George. Good morning, Robert.
Morning. Hi.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I was born and raised a Christian, you know, and you know, I know the Bible. I've read it cover to cover. And but I've always had questions. I've become a bit of an agnostic over the years, I guess, because it seems that the teachings of the Bible, you know, they it wants to keep you a servant, you know, a slave, you know. So sometimes when you look at the stuff of the Old Testament and the beginnings of it, these theories, you know, like Robert has and Zachariah Sitchin's, they almost answer some questions, because I've always wondered, you know, why did the perfect God that hates evil create the devil, create Satan? You know, and then they say, well, you know, I mean, that we have free will, but for some reason it just seems to always bring us around to the point that, you know, that we're enslaved. And the only way really, you know, is to become good servants and become good slaves.
Yeah, it's not much of a choice, is it?
No. And I was wondering what were your thinkings on Jesus Christ in the New Testament?
Oh, okay, now you're setting a trap for me.
We're circling you, Robert.
I'm sure that something happened, but I'm also sure that whatever it took think about how many people's hands were involved in writing and rewriting the book that we now call the New Testament. None of the so-called Testament of the Apostles, none of that was written by them. It was way after the fact. So we don't know what happened. We only know what they want us to think happened.
Let's go to Lee in Boston, Massachusetts. Lee, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, sir.
Well, yes, I'm the first-time caller.
You're not a sir.
I'm sorry. No.
Don't be sorry.
How do we acclimate ourselves to this? What is the first step that we take to understand all this? I'm enthralled with this, and it just, I don't know. How do we go about reacting to all of this?
Yeah, first-time people like Lee, Robert, how do they digest this?
Yeah, very slowly. Even for myself, when I asked for guidance or clarification, it came one piece at a time so that I could digest it and put it into the proper context without shattering my belief system and causing me to shut down. So you have to be careful. The analogy I would say is it's this old Asian saying, when the winds of change blow, you can either bend or break. So I would say bend, you know, gently. Try
easier.
Be flexible in this. You know, it's difficult. It really is. And I appreciate you asking about it.
So you have been researching this. You've been writing about it. What's next for you, Robert?
Moving to China.
And for real?
Yes. I'll be there for a couple of years. So if you need an Asian correspondent.
I do. I will need you out there if you can get away with saying the real thing, right?
Well, no, they're very open about these kinds of topics. They just don't want you questioning anything political.
That's right.
Yeah, which is fine. But there, as you and I have discussed before, there's a lot of things going on there historically that are of great interest that typically Westerners are not privy to. I mean, we've sort of got inklings of like the Dropa stones and that giant pyramid there in central China. Obviously, what's off the coast of Japan there, southern area, the Yonaguni. I mean, I think there's a lot more. And for whatever reason, look, when I was younger, I traveled to 57 countries as a teenager, which is a lot. But I always knew that at some point in my life, I would continue that journey. For whatever reason, it's part of my destiny. I don't know. Maybe somebody's arranging all this. But I'm sure that I'll learn a lot more while I'm there. I do intend on finishing the novel. A lot of people have been asking me about it. Of course, I've had to do some revisions recently, but it's really not for the Coast audience. I mean, I'm sure they would enjoy it, but I'm really tailoring it for people who, like the previous caller, Lee, who don't have any much of an understanding about this. And it's more palatable if you write it as fiction.
Yeah, they can pick it up better.
Well, it's less threatening that way. Still gets the. That's one of the reasons I did America's Morning News for a year. I let them call me the extraterrestrial correspondent, sort of jokingly. But you know what?
because we were kidding around, people actually listened to it, and unbeknownst to them, they were actually learning something that will help them down the line.
Let's go to Ed now, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thanks for calling, Ed. Go ahead.
Yeah, George, Robert, thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
hey, listen,
thanks.
You know, I've been listening to L.A. Mazzulli and Chuck Misler on YouTube for the last 2 days, and they've talked about this same topic you're talking about. Now, the Luciferian agenda, which is the Illuminati, that's who has control of our government right now in this country and basically worldwide. They're going to try to pose, okay, the UFOs, the extraterrestrials, and all that is demonic in origin, hyperspace, 10-dimensional or whatever, you know. Well, anyways, at some point in time, in the near future, one of the extraterrestrials is going to come on the scene, and I think the Pope's going to back it up and pose as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, telling millions that, listen, if you'll just take this mark, you'll have eternal life. And all this chaos that's going on is all a deception to draw people's attention away from Jesus Christ, our Savior, which ultimately will harpazo, rapture, those of us who believe in Christ out of here. I don't know exactly when. It'll probably be pre-rapture, before the tribulation hour. But all this stuff that's going on right now is all tied into the New World Order, the Illuminati. I just got through listening to 4 hours worth of material tonight on YouTube about the Illuminati and the UFO deception. And it's all demonic in origin. And, you know, and I think you pretty well confirmed that yourself. Now, I don't know which side of it for sure, Robert, that you're on with it. But I can tell you this. They're going to deceive millions of people into believing and buying into that lie. And it's going to lead them right into hell, right into the lake of fire. And I don't want to see that happen to anybody, but that is going to be the case.
The great deception. Robert, we're almost out of time, but you do keep in touch with me, will you?
Thank you, George. I will. I appreciate everything you do.
Give out your website for us.
Unicus Magazine, UNICUS Magazine.com. If you want the West Penray papers, just go there and click on Know Thyself. It's right below the Unicus logo. You can download all 4 of his books and study them. It'll serve you well.
Super. Robert Stanley, up next, we're talking about the ESP Enigma on Coast to Coast AM.